Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned as a child. When I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. So when I was a child, I thought, spoke, and reasoned. No, it says I spoke, thought, and reasoned. Now, I've just been thinking about this. The word speak or spoke or talked or spake, depending on which translation you have, it's translated a lot of different ways. Basically, it's talking about what comes out of your mouth. What comes out of your mouth? Thought. Thought. In other translations, it says understood. Let me just tell you what thought is. It's kind of what you allow in your brain, what's in there. That's the patterns that you have to use. And then reasoned. And I've thought about this verse a lot, and I've reasoned this verse out. And as you think about the word think and the word reason, they sound real similar. I mean, when you start giving a definition, think and reason. Reason is how I deal with the things that are in my brain that I'm thinking. All right, now I'm getting real technical here because I think it's important that we get a hold of this. When I grew up, when I became a man, it says, some of your translations say, when I became an adult, childish ways left, the old way of thinking was departed from. Today I want to talk about these. I find it interesting, the order that the Bible gives us things. And I don't think there's anything that was written in the Word that was on accident. That's just what I believe. And if you start thinking there was things that got in there by accident, then how can you believe any of it? So there's nothing accidental. It was all specific. And the order that these are in, as a child, that's the order it's in. A child speaks first and then thinks. Speaks first, then thinks, and then reasons. And if you don't believe that, be around a 2-year-old or 3-year-old that's just really learning to talk well. They speak, and then they think, and then they're reasoning out why they said what they said or why they did what they... See, they speak, they think, and then they reason. Speak means to utter words or sounds with your voice. I find that interesting. You know that psychology, and of course that's some of what I studied in college, was psychology and sociology, and they have proven through a lot of different things, and I'm not going to get into all the proofs of it, but they've proven that you can't actually think without thinking words. You think in words. So the thing about that is that's all true when you are an adult and you can understand what I'm saying. But as a child, they don't think in words, and that's why as a child, most kids, before they can talk, they don't remember that time. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but they don't. I mean, you don't remember when you were 6 months old. You don't remember the first steps. If you couldn't talk, you don't remember that. The young people who can remember are people who can remember the furthest back were the earliest talkers. Because first words had to be formed. And so speaking means to utter words or sounds with your voice. And boys don't remember as well as girls because girls talk first. Just some psychology. I didn't come to church to go to school. All right, well, hear me out today. Everybody knows boys make sounds first and not words. They make sounds. And then, so sounds with your voice is still considered speaking. Thinking means to form or to have in the mind. So it's basically what's in your mind running around. That's thinking. Reason means to put those thinkings in order, in rationale. The things that they're running around in your mind. Everybody got the difference here? Do you see as a child you speak first and then you think and then you reason? I mean, that's just kind of the order it goes in. And that fits the order of a child. They start making sounds. They utter words. They're not really saying anything. They're just talking. I love being around twins because they have their own language. And they're talking, and they supposedly act like they're communicating, but nobody else knows what they're saying. You can ask Melanie and Rick. I'm sure they know a lot about this. So we start with words, and then we get some thinking and reasoning. See, as a child, let me just transfer this thinking. We don't know Jesus as a child. When we're having our first thoughts, our reasoner is off. I don't know if that's proper English, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Our reasoner is off. When we're having thoughts and our reasoners are off, and that's why at 2, 3 years old, you have kids fighting because they can't reason first. They just speak first. And so everything's out of order. It doesn't make any sense. See, we don't have the ability to reason. And here's the thing. As a child doesn't know Jesus. And so because they don't know Jesus, their reasoner is off. And then what happens and what we're seeing in our society, hear this, is we're seeing a bunch of people who are growing up without being able to reason correctly because they never know Jesus. Now, people get stuck their whole life with their reasoner off. Their whole life. See, they're still thinking as a child and they're 45 years old. What does it mean to move into adulthood? I want to just share because as I study more of the word, things start exploding to me. And I've never read anything, and this is just Ashleyology, as Joshology has his, so I just call it Ashleyology. He calls his Joshology. I don't always understand Joshology, and you may not understand Ashleyology today, but I'm going to give you what I'm thinking because this is what I'm thinking. The Bible uses the example of birth and maturity in relationship of growing a person spiritually. All the time. I mean, you read this, and you're like, when you are saved, you are what? You are born again. See, so I mean, it uses the experience of childhood in relation to our spiritual growth. And as we're spiritually growing, we can know where we're at. 1 Corinthians, 1 Peter, 1 Peter 2:2. Newborn babies desire spiritual milk of the word to grow into the full experience of salvation. Are you seeing where that happens? Spiritual milk of the word. What are they talking about? They're talking about relating your spiritual growth to a child. They're relating that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:2. The word is relating to young people or young adults. No, children drink milk. Children drink milk. And they don't eat solid foods, and if you're not careful and you give someone that's not ready for solid food, you can mess them up. Come on, moms, y'all know the story, right? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, I had to feed you milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And it wasn't talking physically. This is Paul talking and saying spiritually. We've got to be a Christian people who get off of milk and get onto some solid food. And so today, I want to talk about this. See, in 1 Corinthians 13:11, it starts making sense when you start seeing the way the Bible will compare childhood to adulthood and spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. Are you seeing the correlation? I'm going to keep talking about it if I don't hear something. Come on. Y'all seeing it? Okay. If y'all will listen good, I'll preach good. You can't put away childish things until you're born again. See, you don't have that option. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. You don't even have the option of putting away childish things until you're born again. And this is talking something from a spiritual perspective, not just kids in general becoming an adult. You can't grow and mature spiritually without a born-again experience. Now, we change some things. We change the order and operation. We start reasoning, and we start thinking, and we start speaking, but you'll never do it God's way until you get it correctly. Today, the sermon title is not Speak, Think, and Reason. It's Reason, Think, and Speak. A child speaks, thinks, and then reasons. A born-again, mature believer that's off of the milk reasons, thinks, and then speaks. That's my whole sermon. I'm going to talk about it for a while. Because I think it's important that we get this. See, you're born into sin. We inherit the sin nature. And it takes Jesus to even have a chance of doing things right. You don't even have a chance without Jesus. See, there are still too many Christians, though, that are still on milk and they haven't graduated to solid food and they still look like they're an unbeliever. And we got to get some Christians looking like Christians. Real quick, here's what I'm saying. There are three types of people. Here are the three types of people. Number one, they're those who don't know Jesus. They speak, they think, and they reason as a child. Here's the second person. Those who know Jesus as Savior only. They still, they're on milk, they don't understand all this, and they still speak, they think, and they reason as a child. And then there are those, the third type of person, who know not only Jesus as Savior, but they know Him as Lord. And they don't speak, think, and reason. They reason, they think, and then they speak because they put away childish things. Boy, this verse is so big. I understand people who don't know Jesus acting as a child. I get that. And don't ever let that surprise you when someone who doesn't know Jesus spouts off something out of their mouth. That's just what kids do. They're not spiritually mature enough to know the difference. And so you can't take that verse and go start judging people and being frustrated. Good grief, you need to put away childish things. They can't. They haven't been born yet. See, there's got to be a born-again experience spiritually before they even have that option. So they're not going to get this picture. But today, I pray that I'm talking to a bunch of people who are born again. Come on. I'm talking to a bunch of people who know Jesus as Savior. Well, if that's the case, you need to quit speaking first, and you need to reason and think first. And I want to talk about how we're going to do this. See, physically, what you are thinking determines what you say. What you are thinking determines what you say. Let me take it a step further and let's just go into Scripture. Matthew 12. Turn to Matthew 12 with me. Let's just see exactly what it says in the Word here. Right after Jesus is a little frustrated, the same verse, verse 34, he says, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good, as right, good and right?" But the last part of 34 is what I want you to see. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever's in your heart determines what you say. Let me just break away from my notes and take a little side note for a second. What's coming out of people's mouths are what's in their heart. And what I'm getting more and more blown away by is I'm realizing what's actually in people's hearts that say they're a Christian. And here's what it don't bother me when they ain't a Christian. But when they say they're a Christian and I hear what they're saying, I know real quick what's in their heart. And real quick when I know when I find out they're a Christian and I know what's in their heart, I realize real quick that they need some solid food, but they haven't graduated from the milk yet. And it's in every realm where you find Christianity. The sad thing is, that's becoming the norm in the United States of America. If they say they're a Christian, you can know real quick when you hear them talk, you know what's in their heart. And here's the thing that kind of gets me, because whatever's in your heart determines what you say. Do you remember when you were a child and people were talking to you about getting saved and how important it was to ask Jesus into your heart? Why? Because what's in your heart determines what you say. So I'm blown away that some people say Jesus is in their heart and then I hear what they say, because I don't think Jesus would say that. I don't think Jesus would say that. If you're not watching what you say, you might want to check what's in your heart. You might want to check what's in your heart. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue can bring death or life. Those who talk a lot reap the consequences. I was a talker growing up, and I reaped a lot of consequences. Ashley, be quiet. I heard that all the time. Ashley, you're talking too much. My mom is here and she will testify that I'm not lying. Ashley, be quiet. You know, when you get to talking a lot, you're inevitably going to say something you shouldn't have said. Because when you keep talking, I don't know that you just continue to get that sometimes from the Lord. Sometimes it starts becoming you who are saying it. And it doesn't mean you're not saved. I just think that what happens is you just keep talking and talking and you resort to childish ways. And I think that if you're on some solid food, it takes you longer to chew it up and you wouldn't be talking as much. See, how do you measure who is mature? Who is bringing life with their words? Or more importantly, the question would be, are you bringing life with your words? Is what you're saying producing life for you first and others second? Because you won't produce it in someone else if it ain't working for you. Don't talk to me about something that ain't working for you. That does, you're talking and it didn't produce life for you. Well, I know, but let it produce in you and then talk about it. All right, let's get into Scripture because I want to make sure we don't get out of the Word and do this all Ashleyology, okay? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, if you're there or held your place there, chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. Y'all with me? This time change getting some of y'all? I will be done momentarily because I can finish the next of it next week, all right? So I won't keep you forever. Just stay plugged in for a second here. See, when I am among mature believers, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6, 1 Corinthians. When I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified our glorious Lord. That's what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. It was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. It was to us God revealed these things. Here's the thing. We read this verse and we think, no eye's seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And then it says, but for us who are mature, we got that. I got that. And it's not just about heaven. It's about the abundant life here on earth. You don't have to wait for heaven for no eye to see. Now, there are things you're not going to have seen when you get to heaven, and it's going to be good. And I believe every bit of that. There's going to be things I hear that I've never heard here on earth. My mind can't even imagine some of the things I'm sure that are going to be in heaven. But here on earth, it is revealed to us by his Spirit what is available to us. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we don't use words that come from human wisdom. He could have just wrote right here from childish thinking. We don't use words that come from childish thinking. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Man, words are so important. See, the Spirit's words explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual or who haven't grown up in the Lord or are still a child, they can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the spiritual means. Only those who are mature can understand the things the Spirit means. Only those who know Jesus can understand. See, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Boy, I love this. And I don't know if you got all of that. Let's break this down just a second. Verse 6 and 7. The word wisdom is used 5 times. It says if they would have gotten it, they wouldn't have sent him to the cross. Church, hear this. They didn't understand Jesus as Lord. They didn't get that. If they would have, they wouldn't have sent him to the cross. See, they couldn't speak in maturity. We've got a bunch of people who can't speak in maturity because they don't live according to the cross. They don't live under the knowledge of the cross and what Jesus did that could give you the words to speak. You just keep speaking out of the abundance of your heart and your heart's all messed up. Why? Because you're not getting it God's way. Verse 9, I love it. Nothing's seen, nothing's heard, nothing's imagined what God has for you. Now think about that for a second. Reason that out. You can't. Because it's God reasoning. It's bigger than what we can imagine. And if you can't imagine it, then it's not in your thinker. See, if you can't comprehend it, it's not in your thinker. That's why we serve Christ, because his thinker's way bigger. Y'all starting to get it. Verse 13 to 14. Don't use words of human reasoning. Don't talk like you're immature. Don't talk like you're not saved. Use the words of the Holy Spirit. Use the Spirit's words. Come on, church, this is good. Use the Spirit's words. That's maturity. That's maturity. Use the Spirit's words. That means you don't have to come up with the words all the time. You don't have to know what to say. You've moved past your childish ways. You've moved past that and you allow the Spirit's words to come out of you. And the only way that you'll get that, come on, is if you'll reason first, then think, and then talk. Is that starting to come together? See, that verse just makes so much sense to me. Children speak first, they think, and then they try to reason everything out. But mature Christian people, they reason. How do they reason? The Holy Spirit's their reasoner. See, our reasoner's messed up because we're trying to reason with our own words. It'll never work that way. You need to reason with the Spirit's words. Well, how do you do that? You grow in the Spirit. You grow in the Spirit. Well, how do I grow in the Spirit? You read the Word, know what God's Spirit revealed us through his Word. You spend time in prayer. You spend time with him. I can tell real quick, just by reading people's Facebook accounts, what's coming out of their heart. Why? Because you're using words, and the words will tell me what's coming out of your heart. And real quick, you can know if that's a God thought or if that's a, you fill in the blank of your name, your thought. What is coming out? Is it childish or is it mature? I'm trying to teach a church to grow into some maturity here. I'm not here to whoop anybody. What I'm here to do is to reveal some things. Let the Holy Spirit reveal some things to you and realize that you've got to quit trying to speak first. You need to reason first. But you can't reason in and of yourself because our reasoners are messed up. Our reasoners are messed up. So you need to get the right things fed into your thinker. Well, how does that happen? The Word of God, prayer, relationship, time with him. So I'm going to feed the right thing into my thinker. Then the Holy Spirit reasons it out and gives me the right thought as I'm learning and growing in him. That's why it's imperative that you have a daily Bible time. It's imperative that you spend time alone with him. It's imperative that you are continually, daily doing what Paul said. I just continually am in prayer. I'm all the time. I'm just praying, all praying without ceasing. I don't ever quit. I'm just praying all the time. Why? Because I'm all the time keeping my reasoner where it needs to be. If I'm going to keep my reasoner, then my thinker gets right, and then my mouth gets right. Come on, if you're married, you've allowed something to come out of your mouth, and it didn't come from the reasoner. Everybody here has been there. Your reasoner was off. You weren't praying continually. Something happened and we messed up. We are fallen people and I understand, and that's not an excuse anymore. That's why I'm bringing it to our attention, because we got to get our reasoner right. And we are speaking before we're allowing the reasoner to take care of our thinker. The thoughts are already there. When she does something or when he does something, you're like, come on, everybody's been... I'm getting ready to tell him exactly. I'm getting ready to tell her exactly what she needs. The Lord will reason on your behalf. And then as he reasons on your behalf, he'll download into your thinker. And as he downloads into your thinker, then your words will come out of you. That's when you've reached maturity. I've been teaching this concept for a while, the last few years, to different leaders in leadership training. And I don't know that I've ever shared some of this at the church, but I've shared it with our Leaders Academy, and I've shared it with some of our leadership. But if we would just learn to stop before we open our mouth. Now, I'm not saying that you didn't already think, because I know people say, well, they just spoke before they thought. That's not really possible once you know the language. Because you think in language. But we're not thinking in God's language, we're thinking in English. And we got to start thinking in God's language. This is way, way bigger a topic than I can cover in one morning. But we've got to start thinking in God's language. And then the words that come out of our mouth might be changed. But we're not thinking in God's language. And I've taught this concept a lot. And here's what I've said. Many people are guilty of speaking before thinking in God's language. They're thinking in their own. They're thinking in the flesh. They're not thinking in the spirit. And that's what they mean when they say they spoke before they thought. But you know, if somebody's getting ready to walk off the cliff or do something, what do? Oh, stop! And you're running or doing whatever. If your child's out in the road and there is a car coming, what are you going to do? You're going to yell, you're going to scream, you're going to holler, and you're going to be heading towards. It's going to produce a momentum to get to them, right? I mean, everybody would agree with that. And because why that is because I just know that we immediately will be moved into words or action once a stimulus happens. Especially if it's danger or if it gets you emotionally. Sometimes it's a concern for others. Sometimes it's a frustration with others. And we've got to make sure that our thinker is filled with the right thoughts. So when we have to immediately come up with something, we come up with the right thing. I've heard people that got hurt or slammed a hammer onto their finger and a cuss word comes out. I mean, there was a season of my life where that was me. But know this, when you fill the voids of your life with the things of God all the time and you remove that, then that's not the first thing that comes to your mind when you hit yourself with a hammer. It's just, but when you're in a crowd where that's what the first thing is a lot, then there'll be times that that's what happens. The first thing that comes to mind. So I'm just using some things to think about here. But a stimulus is something that happens that requires you to have a response. Everybody know this from school, stimulus and response. See, as all of us daily have things that have to be responded to. You have to respond to this. I mean, someone says something to you and you have to respond. And you say, no, I don't. Well, that was a response. They said something and I'm just like, I ain't paying any. You responded. See, people, a stimulus demands a response. And you might say you didn't give one, but you did. By not giving a response, you gave a response. Is everybody getting that? I mean, that's logic. The stimulus, though, could be anything. Someone's in immediate danger, you respond. Someone's falling and you scream, or you head over, or you try to catch them. See, something is falling and you are underneath it. You better respond. There's a response that takes place. Someone says something that you like and you respond. How do people respond when someone says, I'm looking right now, there's a smile. Wow, you look great today. Thanks. But there's a response that it starts raining. You go inside or you pull your umbrella out. A stimulus gets a response. All right, here we go. The most powerful part of your life, the most powerful part of your whole life will occur. The most powerful part of your whole life will occur if you're able to stop between the stimulus and the response. If you can stop before you open your mouth because somebody said something and no, they shouldn't have said it. They shouldn't have said that. There's no doubt they shouldn't have said that. But the most powerful place you'll find in all of life is if you'll figure out how to stop right after the stimulus and give a God response. That's the most powerful place in all of life. Stimulus happens, you learn to stop and give the right response. Now understand, you can respond in words because you can put words in somebody's thinker. You can put words in somebody's thinker just by your facial expression. So someone says, and they can say anything, but someone says, well, I don't like that. And you're like, what? I didn't say anything. Yeah, yes, you did. Yes, you did. See, what if you respond wrong, what I'm telling you is the most powerful place you'll find in all of life is to stop right after the stimulus and figure out how to give the right response. And in all of life, that's the thing. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you just got to know you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance of getting the right response. See, we have to understand that the response means that you're able to give the right one. The stimulus, there's a stop, and then you give the right response. And what that is called is response able or responsible. Break, part two next week. Y'all have a good time this morning. Just gotta stay with me. I think it's really, really important what I'm talking about. And I got to spend some more time on this because obviously we've got to grow in the things of God. But we've got too many people speaking without getting a God download into our thinker. We need a God download into our thinker. That's only going to happen through the response. And the response will be, or the reasoning, and the reasoning will be that we get a hold of the reasoner, and that's the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you this week, get into your word, get into your word, get into your word. Pick up some sermon CDs. We've got a whole resource in the back. There's a lot of CDs, and my guess is, I know that I listened to one on the way home that Josh had done, that I've been waiting on, and he got it to me. It was called Get Over It. I don't know if y'all were here for Get Over It, but if you weren't, talk to me. We're going to edit some things out of it, and you got to get it. 98% of it was really good. But I'm over it. I'm over it. But we got to get over some things so we can get a hold of the things of God. We got to get over some things. And so I just, boy, fill yourself with the word, church. Fill yourself with the word. It makes a difference in how we are responding. We're responsible. We're response able. I hope you got something out of that. Talk to your kids about it. Have the right response to this sermon. Because it'll impact your life if we get a hold of these things. I promise you it will. 1 Corinthians is just so powerful.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.